For those people who wish to speak and ask questions, you need to state your name and address, and you've got 3 minutes to speak or ask a question or whatever you'd like to say. This part of the proceedings is not about planning, so if there's any member of the public who wishes to make a statement or ask a question that's not related to planning, now's your time to do so. Just need to stand up and say your name and address. No one wishes to make a statement? Okay, we'll move into planning. Councillor Landon?
Sorry.
Councillor Dinnan? All those in favour of moving to planning?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Right, planning one. Is there anybody, any members of the public who wish to speak on planning one, which is 301 Collins Street, Edinburgh? You've got 3 minutes.
I won't be that long. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. The site at 1 Collins Street, Edinburgh is zoned general residential. The proposed block will be 500 square metres. The substantial demand for land at Evandale, as we all know, and the buyer of that block would be able to build a house on there that doesn't impact whatsoever on any of their neighbours. I note that your planner has recommended approval, and I hope you can support the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on planning one? Okay, planning two. Is Wellington Street, Longford, the road and street that works. Is there anyone who wishes to ask a question or speak on planning two?
Can I remove this?
Yes, you can, absolutely.
So, Roger Chuffman's my name. I live at 65 Wellington Street, which is the northern end of the proposed street scape process. I make two comments. Why on earth are we going to dig up perfectly good asphalt footpath to put it down in concrete? Now, I have an understanding the concrete may be coloured, but if we want colour on the footpath, there are several paint manufacturers who make very good paint suitable for asphalt. So hesitate. My second comment, it relates to the traffic ways. I've measured several of what we've got now and compared them with the proposed traffic ways, the area between which is allocated to the vehicle. Now, the vehicles range, as you would have seen the other day, from small cars to large tractors. One I measured was 3.5 metres wheel to wheel. Now, I don't believe we should even consider narrowing the traffic ways. Present ones are roughly four metres to a bit over five. Some of the proposed traffic ways are as little as 3.6, which certainly is the national standard minimum, and others are just barely up to 4 metres. I think we should hesitate, as our farming friends have suggested. Try not to narrow it, if anything, widen. Now, I won't go on about gardens because I'm not really qualified to talk on rain gardens. But having said that, I shall sit.
Thank you very much. Mr. Atkinson, did you wish to answer at all?
Just the areas where we're digging up, or proposed to dig up the asphalt, is obviously up the northern end to rectify some drainage and some for ventilation. And the rest is to beautify the street as per part of the brief for the application. And that's to replace it, obviously, with concrete, helping it longevity and easy to replace its existing services, such as TAS Water or TAS Networks or NBN, need to come through that we can replace it.
Did you wish to make any comment about the width of the carriageway?
The width is, the narrowest point is 3.6 metres, which is the standard for the main carriageway. That's in a couple of areas, Lincoln Street out in front of the library, and also near JJ's Bakery there, just the other end of Arch Street there. So the remaining is, as was described, around 4 metres, also increased further to 4.6 around that area approximately, towards Union Street and Mason Street.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to make a comment on Table 2?
Thank you. I'm Rob Biles. I'm a concerned farmer and also chairman of the Tasmania Truck Hunters and Operators Association. Yes, thanks for the opportunity to talk tonight. I'm not against beautifying the town because I reckon it looks fantastic when you're looking from the village you're in at present with the flags up there on the side of the street. It's nice and open, it's wide. There's room for a lot of activity there. And plus there's room for movement of all vehicles and school buses in and out of the traffic ways all the way through. Yes, Longford's a rural town. It serves a very productive and progressive area made up of a group of young farmers who are taking agriculture to the next level. Is that when you look down the Cressy especially, they're very competitive in what they do, and you look at what they're doing now compared to what their fathers did, and they probably double production through irrigation and bits and pieces. At present, we estimate there's about 1 million lambs a year go through Longford, 20,000 head of cattle, 10,000 tonne of peas, 20,000 tonnes of broccoli, 8,000 tonnes of 20,000 tonnes of potatoes, 8,000 tonne of broccoli, 10,000 tonne of grass seed and grain, 100,000 bales of hay and silage, plus all the berries and seed crops, along with the plantation timber that travels through Longford. There are four major tractor and irrigation dealers in the town, and they need to be able to deliver and service their products. Because as agriculture has grown, so has the machinery, and here we are talking about making the street narrower when machinery is getting bigger. The other thing we need to keep in mind is in transport, there's a lot more female truck drivers coming along. Is whether they go to a toilet, if we're going to block the road along the front of the village green, where there is a toilet, with bollards at the stage, there's not room to pull semi-trails and that sort of stuff up. Pages are a local company, they've got two female drivers, without the other people that are driving that are females. Longford's the agricultural capital of Tasmania. No other town in Tassie has as much agriculture produce travelled from one end to the other as what Longford does. Unless it's on a highway, but Tassie's got two abattoirs, all the tractor dealerships plus all the agriculture. Agriculture is growing. We need to make the main street bigger, not smaller. Not only does the present proposal affect trucks, school buses will have the same trouble going around corners. Be bad enough coming into Smith Street with the school bus now when you look at where the tree is in the middle of the street. And plus pulling in and out, you're going to have to take the front of the bus over the middle of the road to get the back out. We're going to keep the road wide for all the machinery that services the area around the town. And give pedestrians and cyclists a safe working street so we can all go to work and go home feeling safe. Everyone that I've spoken to, it's the totally supported where we're coming from. Let's keep the street wide, not make it narrower. And we're on a great stage. Population in Longford's increased 7.5% in the last 5 years on the current statistics of the census.
Thank you, Mr. Bowers. You've had the 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody
else? I've got a question, Mr. Bowers.
Yes.
Mr. Bowers mentioned about the machinery getting bigger. Could you just explain what you mean by bigger? How much bigger will they be getting in the future?
Well, harvesters and that, as time goes on, have got bigger. A lot of Tasmania's harvesters are second hand from like in Victoria, New South Wales, mainland. That's what we really buy because their season's not big enough to justify new machinery here. And it's all around economies of scale. It's a bit like the transport industry, it's getting bigger and hopefully use that a little bit for trucks. Now we've got big semi-trailers even running B-doubles through Longford.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak or ask a question on Planning 2? Okay, Planning 3 is the 8-lot subdivision at Craycroft Road Reserve Longford.
Thanks for the opportunity to speak again. That parcel of land is also zoned general residential. The proposal for those blocks ensures that no blocks is less than 450 square metres. The average is about 700 square metres. Several objections were received, but the vast majority of those didn't relate to planning matters. Your own plan recommends the approval of the development. As we've said before, Longford is screaming out for residential land. This is an opportunity to provide another 7 blocks. and hopefully you can see yourself what you are to support the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, would you like to speak on Sam 3?
My name's Kathleen Farrell and I live at 1 Little Street, which is diagonally opposite the block concern. And I've written it, I have to do this, how to take notes, tell me.
Giving you a copy.
Thank you.
Whoa! Maybe.
Thank you. Okay, now I've only got 3 minutes, but I will race through it because I have a number of points that I did disagree with the fact that it meets the planning authority. I'm not stopping. I don't disagree with the subdivision, but I do disagree with the number of the blocks, the fact that no open space has been allowed. So they're the two things that I'm really concerned with. In terms of the setbacks of block 6 and 8, it was admitted that the setback wasn't adequate enough, and I want everybody to remember that the size of the blocks and where the lines go is completely in the developer's choice at this point in time. So long as they meet the planning scheme requirements, the developer's needs, and the needs of local residents. So that line, which encroaches 1.78 metres on the recommended amount, has actually been chosen to be put there. And it has been argued that that's all okay. And they reference a particular section of the planning scheme. And they have used some of the criteria in argument. But one of the criteria is states visual impacts caused by the apparent scale, bulk or proportions of the dwelling when viewed from the adjoining property. Now, the existing building that is there is 30 square metres and is of Cape Cod construction. It is not a little house. It was situated on 5,500 metres of property, and it will now be on 960 square metres, which was even less than a fifth of its original size. So it's really, in proportion to land size, it's large. So I purport that it will offer a viewing problem. It doesn't provide, does not provide separation between dwellings on adjoining properties consistent with that on existing or established properties in the area, which is another criteria. And there is, even though the arguments against it, there is a window which points out, because they say there's no overlook, and also there is a large number of attic windows which also point over the other lot. So I'm suggesting that it actually breaks that requirement and they haven't been addressed. So that's one. The other one was open space allocation. Now they have chosen to do payment in lieu, and I'm suggesting that shouldn't happen because it's 277 square metres, which is the amount allocated, could actually allow for a strip of land along the front facing Craycross Street. There could be landscaped. It might be 2 or 3 metres deep.
That's your 3 minutes on the phone.
Okay.
Does that planner wish to make any comment?
Thanks. The matters that were raised are our discretions which have been addressed within the report. It's a matter for the council to decide whether the 2.7 metre setback varied from the 4.5 required metre setback required causes an unreasonable loss of amenity in terms of the visual bulk and proportions. The planner's view there was that it doesn't. But it is a discretion, so it's the council's decision. With regard to open space, council again could decide to take land rather than patch and loop, and as it suggests, there would be a strip of land along the frontage which would have some public infrastructure such as park benches in it.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on planning 3? Okay, planning 4 is a draft amendment. Is there anybody who wishes to speak on planning 4?
Madam Mayor and councillors, Jim McKinnon from Longford. fairly brief. I appreciate the value and the vision of the Perth Strategy Plan. You'll be aware that there's a significant impact of the Perth bypass that's now completed, and a lot of land there is now exceedingly difficult to farm, and part of it is also zoned as a residential. To rezone all that land will provide a very clear, hard edge to the township cum village of Perth, vis-a-vis the highway, and then the rural land for the balance of the area to the north. There is no doubt an increased demand and value for new residents to Perth to support that strategy of the Perth Structure Plan. These factors and as outlined in the application, I thank Council for taking an appropriate view of the application, and I trust that it will be passed. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on planning 4 about the draft amendment? Okay, planning 5, two lot subdivision 5 Eskley Road, Perth. Is there anyone who wishes to speak on planning 5? Okay, we'll go to 21.
I'm happy to move that recommendation.
We'll have a second now. Councillor Adams. Any discussion? Right, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Planning 2, the road and switch that works Wellington Street, or the Councillor Gannon.
I'd like to see this item deferred to another meeting to additional information can be obtained, particularly the cyclists, which I think we adjourned it from the deferred from the last meeting to get that information. To me, I'm not satisfied with information supplied today. In addition to that, we've got information supplied about larger equipment that goes through Longford, and as Longford is very much the Agriculture Centre for Tasmania. I think that needs further discussion. I'd like to see Council have another workshop on it, and also maybe in discussion with the new Bicycle Committee, or have the Bicycle Committee meet again and discuss that item on its own. I think it's an $8.2 million... Oh, sorry, do I have a second?
Yes, Councillor,
okay. I'll keep going then. It's an $8.2 million investment in the area. I think we need to get it right, and to have what some would say a minority object to it. I think the minority being cyclists and the farming community, agriculture community, are very important, and two aspects I think we need to get seriously correct before the item goes forward. So with that, I'd like, as I said, to defer to we're better informed.
Councillor Adams, you had your
hand
up before?
Yeah.
And then Councillor Adams.
You're not speaking for?
Councillor Adams, please.
Oh, okay. So, sorry. Yeah, okay. This is, I support the motion. There seems to be a lot of issues that need to be dealt with. I'm very concerned that there's a lot of misinformation. I don't want to stop agricultural machinery or coming down the main street or coming through Longford, but there is an Australian code transport which all transport vehicles that come on public roads have to be met. That road is a state and, you know, the state transport codes come into play. So, and anything that gets bigger than that would have to be transported on something else or dismantled, because there's only a certain amount of things that can legally travel. And most of them are designed to meet those Australian codes, transport codes. But the biking issue, we were fortunate to have a very good meeting of the bike committee with Councillor Lambert and myself. We had to tackle this issue up front on other issues that we wanted to deal with, but and we did achieve some way forward, but more time would give us other opportunities to see if they the technical stuff that we dealt with would work there. So more information, more opportunities, but I would say that I'm really concerned that if We won't get this money again. This is from a government, not this present government, the last government, but the one before that. And unless we take advantage of it, and we can't spend it on anything else because the vote of Parliament was for it to be spent in these programs, and we were able to mount an application and get the grant. Certainly, you can't leave things as they are forever. You have to renew things, and we have to renew main streets, we have to renew our services that are in the ground, many things that people don't see that council owns and give services to their community. So give us more time, workshop it, and see what we can achieve.
Thank you. Councillor Boss.
Thank you. Just a couple of really valid points about the agricultural equipment. We heard tonight from Mr. Bales over here about the drivers accessing the tools that in the Longford. We provide those tools for all people in our community, and people come and visit our community. I did notice on the news, Mr. Bales and his family were bringing the trucks out of from the village green area, because, and that's the kind of thing they would do if they use the tools there. And their expert opinion is, and I've got to go with expert opinion is, because he drives trucks a fair few days a week, that he doesn't believe they can get out of those streets and onto the main street again. Yes, you can go up there to main street, because there's 3.61 metres available before you go up and down. He can do that, but he can't access any of the facilities in the side streets. And I think that's a really valid point, and I think that we need to consider that at the workshop. Also, with the bicycle people, we need to consider their concerns. And also, we need to consider the pedestrian uses. There's no indication of where pedestrians can cross the road, apart from three or four main points. And that needs to be addressed, because as most people here would traverse down the main street, and people are crossing the road near the Country Club Hotel and the service station all the time, walking across there. Well, those facilities haven't been included in this design plan, and that's something we need to address and talk about looking at that. So there are a few things we need to sort out and get things right. Yes, it's a lot of money, and the money might sound attractive, but if we're going to spend it poorly, it's the wrong way to do it. We need to spend it right. So that's why we need to make sure we need to take some time and get the right information.
Thank you. Councillor Brooks.
Yeah, I think the Union Street, Wellington Street entrance is a really important intersection for trucks and heavy vehicles, because for anyone that's ever drove through Longford at any particular time, there's always a truck or a heavy vehicle coming in or out of that intersection. It can be very dangerous at times for people coming into Longford that don't understand that trucks need to get across the road to use their lane up to get around the corner if they're heading back towards Launceston. So we need to make sure we get these disturbances right. Maybe we need to get rid of that one on that intersection. I don't know, but I know that we really do need to take our time, make sure we get it right. This is a long-term investment, so we don't want to be making a hasty decision just because we've got some money that we've got to spend. I'd rather say, let's get it right and lose the money. I'd rather see we get it right for the long term. And we've got some other safety issues on Longford. We've got Hill Street, the supermarket. We've got a lot of more probably dangerous spots that we probably need to be addressing as well. So we just need to make sure we get this one right, and then we can tie in the other bits and pieces that we need to down the track to make sure everything's right. And I just think this is a really good motion that we need to spend more time, get it right, and cover every option that we've got available to us.
Councillor Lambert.
Thank you, Mayor. You're right, we have to get this right. It's a lot of money, and I think we owe it to the huge amount of people that have come out and started lobbying all of us, and I thank you all for coming out to do that. It's really important that you come and talk to us about your concerns, so thank you for that. And within those conversations, a lot of things have come to light that we owe it to those people and to our community to go back and absolutely nail down to make sure that we've explored all of those options to make sure that we are accommodating for all road users, pedestrians, truck drivers, cyclists, and whatever comes into the future. So I absolutely support this. We need to look at those disturbances as to whether they are the right distance, whether they can be shortened or taken out or whatever. But we need to have the opportunity to take some of the ideas that have come back from the community to really look at that. I'm hoping that the federal government will be flexible and understand that we have an obligation to our community to get this right, and that they will give us the flexibility we need to ensure that we've got the time available to actually get this plan right and not be threatened with losing the money if we don't get it done by a certain time. So I'm hoping that the government will be flexible in that way for us. I know that they have already once given us an opportunity to do this, but I'm hoping that once they understand the implications, that they will give us that flexibility. So I absolutely support the motion.
Thank you. And we've all had a safe chance to speak. Councillor Benindez.
I'm happy not to sum up. I think the summing up's been done for me, so that's fine. I'd just like, after this motion's gone, to shadow another motion in relation to the same subject, please.
Okay, now I'm going to put that recommendation that it's deferred. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Foreshadowing a motion?
Yes, look, I've mentioned enough times in workshops, and I think it's come to a head this evening, the conversation in relation to agricultural machinery. And I'd just like to foreshadow a motion, whether it's now or if you're happy to take it, that the council investigate, maybe in conjunction with the state government, a bypass of Longford for heavy equipment, be it trucks, machinery, or whatever you wish to call. And I believe they have highlighted at some stage an area where they could do that, and like a lot of, have I got a second, sorry? It was interesting reading the newspaper and the Examiner about Launceston. There was a guy, Pat Poy, came out, designed 5 bypasses for Launceston. 4 were done, and one he felt didn't need doing, this was done in 1978, didn't need doing for 20 years. And by the time Launceston City Council looked at getting the bypass from the West Tamer around St Leonard's and to the airport here or to the Midlands Highway, the land become too expensive, the roads become too expensive. And that could well be the case, that it may not be required today, a bypass of that equipment, but as pointed out, the equipment's getting bigger and wider, etc. And it probably will be needed in the future, and it would be good planning to see that done at some stage, that at least have a corridor so we know where buildings can go and can't go, etc.
Councillor Adams.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'll second Councillor.
Councillor Boss has already seconded.
Oh, okay. You want us, you are right, if I speak?
Okay.
This has been mooted, it's been discussed in the community. There are issues like the primary school now doesn't take the children to the library because the danger of the main street of getting the kids across there. The traffic flow has increased enormously. The town committee has looked at many options and put up issues. I think that the latest traffic count has been to show the increase that we're having. So we have these issues around Sticky Beaks Corner that we've tried to solve as a council, but we can't do it without the state government certainly putting up some money on its main road. And the issues down at Hill Street and the servo there, they're all points that of conflict. So if we can look at bypass, people are talking about it now in the town. I think it's worth a opportunity to discuss it and get it out there as an idea. Whether it comes or goes is another thing, but I think if the figures continue to grow as they are, and I accept the agricultural growth that has been enormous since we got the irrigation into the region, and that'll continue to grow, and we can value add that agriculture enormously into the future, and that will just mean more transport because we have to get it to market. So this is a good concept. Let's look at it, see if we can find something.
Thank you. Councillor Brooks.
I couldn't support it on the basis of I'd be very afraid of the local businesses around Longford that feed off the agriculture and the trucks that come through Longford. I couldn't believe to think that that you could just make up a bypass to heavy equipment only. Like, I'm not sure how that would ever work. It'll have to be a bypass for heavy equipment and cars as well. Like, you know, the local businesses would devastate the local businesses, and I just could not support a promotion like that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit torn as well for that same reason, but I sort of think for the future we probably need to investigate. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know, there's a lot of factors into play here. So I think if we're investigating, we're not saying it's going to happen. And I think Council have been in and did point out, you know, there was an example that now it's become too expensive to do, I think you said. So to investigate, yes, but what Councillor Brooks has said is absolutely right. That needs to be in the forefront of that kind of thinking as well, because, you know, without businesses, you don't really have a town.
Thank you. I'll put that recommendation. Sorry, Councillor Boss.
Yeah, just I will support this motion, because I think it's probably in the future. And it is an issue with the transport. But I did a bit of data this morning, which I thought was probably interesting. I went out to Wilmers Lane, the bottom end of Longford, and went up Wilmers Lane and down Swing Banks Road, and to get from the Cressy Junction to out on the main highway here at Swing Banks Road, it was 8.2 kilometres, and took me 7.37 minutes to go from the same point back to the same place on this side, going through Longford. It was 6.2 kilometres and took me 6.5 minutes. So it's only a minute different going up the road. So I didn't think there was very much difference. I thought that was very interesting. I thought it would be a lot longer. But I wouldn't think a lot of people live in our community or visitors would know that that's a really quite good route to go to Cressy through that road there, Swing Banks Road.
Okay. Now I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Councillor Brooks is against. Nobody else? The motion's carried. planning, excuse me, planning 3, Baycroft Road Reserve, Longford. Councillor Ginninnan.
I'm happy to move that motion.
Second,
second.
Yes.
What page
are they coming? Page 85. Page opposite 85, unmarked, but B84, I think.
This is
Procroft? Yeah. Sorry, wrong page, yeah.
Yeah, 149.
Correct.
Councillor
Boss.
149. Thank you.
So you weren't
seconding
it?
Oh, Councillor Boss seconded? Yes.
Any discussion? Councillor Brooks.
I've just got a couple of concerns. The first question, I suppose, will go to Mr. Gondia about the footpath. Now, the footpath in Craycroft Street, there'll be a footpath out in front of this development, but then there's nothing else. Where's the closest footpath? Do the council link this up at some point in time, or do we just have a footpath and then you walk off it and you've got to put your gumboots on to get to the next section? How does it work?
So, I mean, I'd normally have to ask the works manager, but he's obviously not here. It's the works department's recommendation that there be a footpath, so from that I can take it that they're planning to link to it sometime in the near future.
Where is the closest footpath to it, though? Like, is it up on Craycroft Street further down? Because, like, it would be probably 20 years before there'll be a footpath joining up to it. That's what I'm getting at. If there's someone walking a pram over there and then they come to the end of the footpath, what happens then? Do they go out onto the road?
Well, they would have to. Which would be the case if there was no footpath in front of this property, they'd be walking on the road.
Yeah, so the council have got no plans to link that footpath up to finish it up to the end of the street, so to speak?
I can't answer that.
I wouldn't know where that sits in the priority list, but I would think if it's not on the list, it would be put on the list. We can investigate that and provide further advice to council.
And the second query was, on the boundary fence, on the western side of the boundary fence, that Mr. Green, he put in a representation about the loss of privacy, and I think it was addressed in the report that the fences were adequate. But the fences were adequate what it was that the boundary had a lot of bushes and hedges up against it, so he always had the privacy of that screen over the top of the northern boundary fence. Is there any condition that we could put on that fence that he puts a woven fence topper on top to alleviate the privacy? Because you might raise your eyebrows, Councillor Ginninnan, but it is a if he's been a long-term resident there, to have the whole stuff cleared away and his backyard basically opened up. You know, I know the fences are adequate, but is there any way we can put a condition on there that he puts a woven fence topper on there to act as private? It wouldn't be a lot of cost to the developer, and would then give the resident the privacy that he should have continually than what he had before.
We don't generally put privacy conditions on subdivisions, because until it's developed with a house or unit, so the privacy hasn't changed. It's still a vacant block. So that's generally it.
So you couldn't put that condition on.
But you could put it on. I'm just saying that we don't generally, because, as I say, it's not until it gets developed that the loss of privacy becomes an issue.
Councillor Goss,
you had your hand up earlier?
Yes, please.
May I have a commitment?
It's okay, you know the press
the
green button to get out?
Right, okay.
Councillor
Goss. Yeah, I will support the application as it is, but I'd just like to speak to the application, just concerns about it. There's parts of the application that I don't like personally. I don't like the really long driveway to access four properties. There's one driveway which goes from the front of the block of Craker Street right to the back, which would be, I don't know, 200 metres possibly. Another two at about 120 metres. One down the other side, 100 metres. There's four driveways. I mean, to me, this looks like really, really, really cheap planning done on cheap. They made it the cheapest way they could do it to make it work, which it does. But it would have been much better if it had been a nice street, a little cul-de-sac, and all access to all those places from those streets. Unfortunately, though, the Planning Commission doesn't see that as a priority, but to me, I do. But I will support it, but I do think it's something that we need to look at as a council. I'm not sure what we can do about it. We need to make some way where we've got to stop this type of cheapness-looking planning. And it's happened a lot in our council. We've seen about some recently, and some, my subdivision where I live, has been there 33 years, and they did the same thing in that. So I mean, it's not something that's just recent. It's something that's happened over a long time. So we need to have something about that. Thank you.
Councillor Lander, did you have your hand up before? No.
Thank you, Mayor. I, like Councillor Goss, really dislike battle axe blocks. That is one long drive in and whatever. Much better if you can create some sort of cul-de-sac or something which gives you an opportunity to have people to front onto a street and have a street streetscape at the front. Mm-hmm. These are, we're taking another house with a big garden, lots of trees, and we're going to cut down all the trees and we're going to fill in these things. This is happening all over Longford and Perth as well. It's very unpopular, and people think that it's changing the composition of the country town, which of course it is. I've got concern here with the water. There's a very wet area here, and there were some units built further down. But I understand, and the planner can answer this if he can, that this is a zoning application. But at the building approval stage, that if water needs to be pumped, if it doesn't connect with the council connector, that then a part of the permit would be that they would have to pump water from those back blocks. Is that right?
That's right. In one of the plans in the attachment shows an area that can't be serviced by gravity. So what they have to do for planning is to put a connection to each lot, and they're also proposing an extension to the main in Craycroft Street. And then at building and plumbing permit stage, they'll look at whether they actually have to pump from the back, and that will be a requirement on those permits.
Okay, we also had some representation about the loss of the taking of the cash from council instead of having open space. Maybe you could answer that, or I can, one of the two. Can you? Why we do that? Why council's policy position?
Yeah, so council's policy on open space is either to require them to provide 5% land, which is required by the local government act, or to take 5% of the value of land in cash, which is also allowed for under the act. It hasn't really got a policy beyond that. Its practice has been on small lots such as this that would create about 270 square metres of land. That's too small for a local park, so it hasn't taken the land. What we heard tonight was the suggestion that the council actually take a strip of land instead of a parcel of land to sort of help break up the view of the property or the development. And so I think that's really got to be a decision for the council because we haven't, as a matter of practice, taken that before.
Councillor Lambert. So I will ask a question now, and it's about that very thing. If we voted to say, yes, let's take that strip of land at the front, how would that then impact on the plans? Yeah. So where would that then leave some of the setbacks, et cetera, so,
and then the lot sizes to do
the lot sizes, just the whole plan, really?
Yeah, well, it would impact lots 5, 6 and 7, largely. You can see that they're 474, 468, 528. Without doing the calculations, I don't know whether that would bring them down below the 450 square metres.
Just wanted to get the point that council keeps the money in a fund that it then funds playgrounds in an area bigger, like we're doing in Lakeland Street, as we've done up in Lewis Street West, so that we're going in Evander, in Perth, up in Seacombe Street, so that we have a big enough piece of land to make a playground, and in Seacombe Street we put a toilet as well.
So if there's no appetite to add another condition, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Planning for a draft amendment to a proportion of land on the east side of the Midlands Highway. Can you just speak to that, Mr. Mayor?
Thanks, yes. Yes, it's an application to rezone land from rural resource to general residential. You can see on the screen there two parcels of land proposed to be rezoned. As is outlined within the documents, they're bisected from the remainder of the farm by the new highway, and so it makes sense to rezone them for residential in accordance with the adjoining zones, and that's combined with an application to put them onto two separate titles. So that was recommended that council initiate.
Councillor Boss.
Yeah, I'd like to move the motion, please.
Yes, I have another second.
I'd like to make amendments to it, though, that highlights the size of the lot at a minimum of 450 metres squared. Council speaking for that 450 metres squared at a minimum size. Council's put it to the Planning Commission that we increase it to Northern Middle for 600 square metres, the minimum size box to have. So that's what we're planning for the future. In this draft amendment, if we set that now at 600, that means that if we brought this one over this block here, it would have some impact on the development, but at this early stage, I think 150 metres on the smallest blocks would make a big difference to them. This development we saw just a moment ago, you know, they had 8 blocks, 4 of them were under 600 metres, and that's a common trend across our community. We want to stop it. We want to We want to make it better for everybody in our community, so all that's a change to 600 metres. And I'm taking some advice from the planner also that this has got a minimum entrance level of 3.6 metres, and the planning application for the box now, they can have a minimum access 3.6 metres, so they have these battle act boxes which go in with big long lines in and dropped off. But I'd like some way how to, in this proposal, how we can actually put something in to do that. So lots of advice from the council. So I suppose I'd like to move a motion that we accept it, but minimum block size 600 metres, and I need some advice about what we can do about the frontage, how we can make sure we don't encourage battle axe development.
Yeah, thanks. Yes, so both those issues are addressed in the draft.
Point of order, I won't second that motion now.
That's fine. You don't have to.
But won't you need a seconder before
we... Yeah, we can withdraw the seconder.
They're covered in the draft local provision schedule, so you could make your motion to insert a specific area plan using the lot design and internal lot provisions of the draft local provision schedule. So that has the 600 minimum lot size, and it puts internal lots into a performance criteria rather than just an acceptable 3.6 metres.
While we're doing that, we have a seconder to what Councillor Boss is suggesting.
No, I'm not seconding at the moment. I want more clarification from the planner what he means by the provisions schedule. How's that work?
Yeah, so that's provisions that the council asked to get into our local provision schedule, so our new planning scheme, the upcoming planning scheme, which is where we wanted to increase the minimum lot size from 450 to 600, and we also wanted to reduce the use of internal lots.
And that will come into play anyway?
If the commission agrees with it. But not for these two lots.
So we've already got it into the... You've already got that into the plan authority, right?
Yeah, for the remainder of Perth, because this is a rezoning,
yeah.
It doesn't cover these properties.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's what Councillor Goss is trying to cover. Okay.
Well, sorry, apologies. I'm still none the wiser on that, the provisions, how that will work in relation to this one.
Because
how do you determine whether it's 3.6 or 4.8 or 5.4?
Yeah.
Is it on the length of the driveway, or is it on the number of occupants there, the number of blocks it services?
Yeah, so it's saying to
sorry, while he's looking for that, I'm happy to move an amendment to it. He hasn't seconded it at the moment.
There's no seconder yet, yes.
Right, I'll move an amendment that we agree with the original motion, but make it 600 square metre lots, minimum size, and that's it.
So regarding the internal lots, there'll be no acceptable solution for internal lots, so it'll be performance criteria. This is battle axe lots. Each internal lot must have sufficient usable area and dimensions suitable for the intended use, having regard to consistency with existing patterns of residential development in the surrounding area. So if you've got an area that doesn't have internal lots, this performance criteria would prevent it.
Now, you haven't actually substantially changed Councillor Boss's.
Well, it is, because it's not including that in there.
He hasn't added the third bit yet. Councillor Goss.
Can't hear you very well.
I'm sorry. Councillor Goss, you've got your recommendation.
I haven't got a second for that.
No. And yours is to have the lot sizes the minimum 600 square metres?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask a question from the planning officer.
Yep.
I'm a bit concerned about that, because if that doesn't get through the commission, then we've got nothing to go back to. If we put in there that the minimum block size is 600 metres square, that's in there, and it's clear. And that's better than the other way we're having a bit of a gamble.
That's wrong.
We have a bit of a gamble. So we don't want to, I don't want to take a gamble, but I would like to say, do we, can we have something to say that not to have battle axe blocks developed? That's not bad, not good terminology, I don't know what you call it, but not good.
So because this is a scheme amendment, it's going through the commission anyway. So the commission's got to decide whether it agrees with the rezoning or not, and it's also got to decide whether it agrees with the 600 square metres and the no battle axe blocks, if that's what you decide. So it's got to decide in any case.
Now, we still haven't got a second before the first motion.
Yeah, I'd like to speak.
Yeah. So,
you probably need to get a second.
Yes.
And the council given a wishes to move a motion that simply includes the 600 square metres.
I will withdraw my first motion then, because I'm not getting a second, and I will second Councillor Gaudenham's motion.
Alright,
what is the motion?
The motion is, as the as outlined for us, that there are minimum...
Can we set it up on the screen?
Yeah, it's up there. That's what's there. And Councillor does a second.
We'll look at page 185.
That's where it starts. It's exactly the same as what's in the papers, except we've added a bit at the bottom that the minimum lot size be 600 square metres. We're taking out the specific area zone at the moment, aren't we? So that's the only addition.
Can I ask a clarification? What if this doesn't get up in the Planning Commission?
I thought I had this, which is
what I was going to say. If we lose it at the Commission, the applicant here will just appeal this position, and we won't achieve anything. So I think we hang on to where we are. I appreciate Councillor Gaudenham's motion, but amendment. But I guess if we're going to win this, we'll win it at the tribunal, and they'll approve what we've put up to put into our new scheme, or they won't. And what we have in this proposal isn't going to go anywhere if they knock that back, because then the applicant will be able to appeal it and say, well, you know, it hasn't been. And we won't have any argument on that basis.
Have
the
mover
and
the second to change anything?
No, I'm happy.
Well, that's the motion at the moment.
Would the panel like to comment on Thomas Councillor Adams' reading wisdom there?
So the Commission will decide on this amendment, and they'll decide whether they agree to rezone it to general res or not. They'll also agree whether to put the 600 on it. Now, they might agree to rezone it to general res, but not agree to the 600, in which case it's back to the 450, which is the statewide provision.
So it shouldn't really hold things up. So it shouldn't really hold anything up.
By putting the
600 on it.
Shouldn't hold it up. It's just another thing for the Commission to decide on.
Councillor Goss.
Yeah, just speaking to the, I think the 600 metre square is pretty, you know, common sense, I think that is. I don't know if the Commission will see that, but I think it is. But just on these battle axe blocks, you know, the reason why I'm against them, they don't build community. You've got these long driveways.
Point of order, we've not had this discussion. Yeah. We've deleted that.
Okay, I'm going to put the recommendation that we go with what was already written plus the 600 square metres. We request the 600 square metres. I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Councillor Butch is against. That's the only councillor against. The motion's carried. Thank you. Planning 5 is two lot subdivision 5 Eshley Road 2.
So this is an application for a two lot subdivision, which is outlined on page 189 of the agenda. The whole property is zoned rural resource at the moment. And it's proposed to create one lot on each side of the highway. To do that in the rural resource zone, the planning scheme requires that the subdivision must demonstrate that the productive capacity the agricultural productive capacity of the land will be improved as a result of the subdivision. We had the applicant's agricultural report reviewed by a peer agricultural consultant who found that they hadn't demonstrated an increase in productivity. We gave the applicant the opportunity to come back with further information to demonstrate an increase in productivity, but they didn't. So the application is therefore decided on the information before it, and since it hasn't demonstrated an increase in productivity of the land, it's recommended for refusal.
Councillor Goss.
I'll move the recommendation.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Councillor Goss.
The applicant did submit the response to that, which I've read, and I've just assumed that he, well, I don't assume that he's addressed all the concerns. What has he addressed in?
So his response was actually from their planner rather than from their agricultural consultant, which we did still get our consultant to have a review of. And when it's outlined in there, just a number of matters where they've got to demonstrate an increase in productivity, and he hasn't done that.
Well, he's got there that lot one will to be farmed in its own right and will enable surplus capital to be expended on improving the agricultural capacity of the balanced lot. Well, clearly states it.
I mean, that's why it's come to council, their decision. I'm just saying that the advice from our ag consultant is that they haven't demonstrated, but the councillors believe they have. The information is there before you.
Any further discussion? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Councillor Brooks is against. The motion's carried. Recommendation now that the cease to act as a planning authority, Councillor Goss, Councillor Gannon. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Right, we move back to the kennel licence.
9.10.
What page?
67. I'd have to move the motion that we approve a kennel license to keep no more than 12 dogs on the property with conditions of no breeding.
Any discussion?
So I move that because it appears now that we talked before about being a commercial operation where this appears to be a normal private kennel license, the way that I read it, and I've no issue there if it meets all those criteria and the others, but I think the minute it becomes a commercial enterprise that we're advised and a separate application would be applied for. That's my understanding.
Yes. Councillor Goss.
Yes, I'll support the motion. Just an interesting reading the report. I think it's 7,355 square metres on the block. You know, so it's a really substantial size property. It's not a small property, so I think it's got potential to cater for 12 dogs. I know that the operator has been a very had dog kennel license before, and we haven't had any concerns with that property in the middle of a residential area. So, the officer visited, and the report might say in there, or has said in the past, about how well they were kept and looked after. So, I think it's really good that we can support them and wish all the best in the future.
Thank you. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried.
Oh, thank you. Yes,
we're going to be moving into closed council meetings. Good night.
Thank you so much.
Good night.